Superhuman eyes. Accelerated evolution.
Today, I am so happy to welcome Val Emanuel. She's not only a dear friend, she is a pioneering force in women's health and sustainability. As the co-founder of Rif Care, Val is revolutionizing menstrual health with organic, eco-friendly products made from regenerative hemp fiber. Val's journey is one of true grit, resilience, and innovation. After confronting significant reproductive health challenges, she turned to holistic healing methods, which led her to identify a critical gap in the market for safe, effective, and eco-friendly menstrual products. In our conversation, Val and I delve into the importance of risk-taking, female empowerment, the need to change the narrative around menstruation, and the profound link between caring for our bodies and our planet. We explore historical and cultural perspectives on menstruation, debunking stigmas, and celebrating the powerful natural processes that connect us to the earth. I am so excited for today's episode because not only am I getting to talk to an incredible female entrepreneur and change maker, I'm getting to talk to a dear friend and sister, technically from another sister, who is part of our women's circle. I am so pleased to welcome you to the Superhumanized podcast. Welcome, Val Emanuel.
Thank you so much for having me. I love when you post your updates about the podcast and all the amazing guests you have. So when you asked me to be a part of it, I was like, you consider me also on the caliber of your other guests? Like I was floored. So everyone listening to this right now, if you have not listened to the rest of the show, please go. The guests are amazing. The conversations are deep and you're going to love it.
Thank you so much, Val, from the bottom of my heart. And yes, girl, you are incredible. And we have had chats in the past about, we'll get into this, everything. I already mentioned it in the introduction. I want to hear the story in your own words. I am just so really just joyous to be able to have conversation like this with you because you are moving the needle in so many ways, from taking care of the earth, being a empowered female entrepreneur, changing the narrative about something that affects most women for, what is it? I did some research.
40 years?
Yeah, and actually 6.2 or 6.4 years total out of their lives, we are talking about exclamation mark, the period. And coincidentally, I just started my period, or as I like to call it, I just started on my moon today. So I'm bleeding as we are talking. And to talk about bleeding and destigmatize it is a hugely important thing. And we share that perspective, Val. I would, to begin this conversation, I'd really love for you to share with our listeners, how about we start with some of your personal health challenges that you've also publicly spoken about and how they led you to found Rif Care, co-found Rif Care, actually, with your best friend.
Yeah. So I love that you say the word bleed when you talk, because I feel like that is a word that is so polarized, right? Even when we do it on social media and we say bleed, it's 50% of the time they might shadow ban that post for whatever reason. But it's what we all do as humans at one point. It's what women do every single month.
Yeah.
But yeah, I made a whole business around bleeding. And really the reason for it was because I was having my own health issues. Since I started my period, it was always super heavy. I was always one of those girls who would wear two tampons at once because I was just like, this is the only way I can get through the day. And I'd be in pain and I'd have pain medication on me. And I had other friends who would be physically sick and unable to go to school during that time of the month. And so it just seemed very normal to have these issues. And then as you get into your 20s, like, for some of us, for me at least, when I had my daughter, that's when I first started to realize like the hormone imbalance didn't really change, like got worse. And then being off and on birth control, having a miscarriage, there were so many things that had happened in my life. And I just did a deep dive into what I was using, what I was wearing. Okay, I'm reading ingredients now. What do these ingredients mean? Okay, I thought my period products were cotton. They're actually made out of plastic that's made to look like cotton and they have bleach in them. So I realized, I was like, look, I want to start a company and I want it to be also innovative. There's a lot of new brands that have come out who have organic cotton period products. And I used a lot of them and some of them didn't work for me. They weren't absorbent enough. They weren't comfortable enough. They felt crunchy. And hemp is just something that I absolutely love. Everybody knows, or not everybody knows, people need to know that it's a super plant, right? And we're not just talking about CBD. We're talking about everything. It can be used in batteries. It can be used as concrete, as fabric. It's one of the oldest materials ever. And it was banned a long time ago because a lot of people who were in power were like, wow, it's really easy to grow and anybody can make money off of it. So let's ban it. But it's such a great material. So that's what we chose to make our products out of. We have pads, menstrual pads, and also period underwear that are made with hemp fiber. And then we're in the process of making tampons with hemp fiber. So really exciting stuff happening with materials innovation because there's a need for it.
Yes, 100% Val. And you are touching upon so many truly important topics. One of them, and we're going to talk about all of them. So one of them, of course, is the issues. And I mentioned before the stigmatization around menstruation, about bleeding. Let's say it again, bleeding. Let's celebrate bleeding. And the other thing is sustainability, sustainable materials, and then also health. What is actually in conventional period care? And we're going to do a deep dive into all of this. I would love to start with actually the misconceptions and also the stigmatization surrounding menstruation, which really is a global issue that affects women and girls in so many societies. Historically, menstrual taboos have often depicted periods as something that's unclean or shameful in many cultures in the past, but also in the present. These taboos would restrict women's behavior and activities. They would be put somewhere outcast from the tribe or from their social network because they were deemed as unclean, and they were banished, basically, in many different faiths as well. So and I think the stigma still runs deep, not only in some of, even in our Western culture, some of the conversations, or rather non-conversations around periods, and also epigenetically, the shame, the fear is attached around this. This has been passed down to us, and our capacity to just fully stand in what it means to bleed for those of us who do menstruate. Some women don't. That's another topic, but most of us do. And also to be seen and to be free with it. I remember when I started menstruating relatively late. I think I was 13 and a half at the time. Most of my girlfriends had started menstruating like a year and a half or even two ago. And I remember it was, when we talked about it, it was like hushed, and we made up this nickname for it. And it was, oh my God, one of us bled in her pants. Oh gosh, at school, how embarrassing, how horrible. What? Yeah. It's natural. I'm curious to hear from you because, of course, you are very much in touch with also your consumer and fan base. I'm a fan. I'm having one of your beautiful boxes right next to me because
I love it.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions and also, judgments that you have encountered around a woman's menstruation, young girl's menstruation?
Yeah, I think the top thing is just how women think that men view it. And this starts really early because, like you said, you're in middle school and you get really embarrassed. And most of the times when you start your first period, it's publicly, right? You're out, you're playing, you're doing something, and then you end up having your period in your pants. And then that first, when people start to tease you, or you take a tampon out of your backpack and you hear that like plastic wrapper and you just want to run and hide in the corner. These are things that are extremely normal, but for some reason we've almost dehumanized the action of having to take care of yourself to the point where girls get bullied and then you go to the bathroom and you have to hide your tampon like in your sleeve. And those are the things that I just don't do anymore. If I'm going to the bathroom to change my tampon or my pad, I don't have to hold it up in the air, but I'm not hiding it anymore. There's no shame around it. What? I'm on my period. That's normal. And I know also some women have been shamed by their partners, like later on in life, or let's say their husband would shame them and be like, oh, I don't want to have sex around your period. Gross. And we're just like, it's a natural, not everybody is okay with blood. We know some people get queasy and we know some people feel a certain type of way when they see someone bleeding, but to make someone feel like they are dirty or unclean during their period when it's the entire reason every single person is sitting on this planet today and existing is because of periods is really wild. So we need to rethink them. First of all, to think about periods as something that has to do with our health. If you're having a period, you're having a healthy hormone cycle, right? You're going through the hormone cycle that your body has to have. So once we take that conversation from just some weird, uncomfortable thing that happens every month, to this is the thing that not only creates human life, but is responsible for every single function in your body because of your hormone cycle, I think that's when it's going to be more normalized. And so I think we need more sophisticated conversations around periods. And I think also periods in cycle health should be taught earlier, because it all does start, I think, in high school, middle school, when the first kind of bullying and shame happens.
Yes, 100%, Val. And as a counterpoint also, there are, of course, also cultures throughout human history that have celebrated menstruation. There is, for instance, I think I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, the Dogon people of Mali or the Mambara of Senegal, who actually celebrate a girl's first menstruation. And also my ancestral lineage going back to the Nordic countries, menstrual blood was often seen as a source of life. It would get sprinkled in agrarian cultures on the fields as a fertility enhancer and something that would bring good luck for the entire community. I personally have been very fortunate to the men who really have been meaningful to me in my lives, the relationships, they have no issue going to a pharmacy or to a supermarket health store and getting me the menstrual care that I need. And they have no issue also taking care of me or minding when I went through these times in the month. And I think we are also on the cusp of a cultural shift now. What you just mentioned is hugely important. We need to really curate a different approach also in our educational systems. School is supposed to teach us the tools for life. What could be more important than for children to actually understand how life is created and everything that is part of it, and how to actually deal with and support half of the female half of the world's population when they're through with it. What do you think could be some good approaches to get that started? Maybe talking to policymakers, politicians, or to advocacy groups or people who head school districts. What would be a good and constructive way to get that started?
Yeah, I always think if we taught people in school how to drive, how to do taxes, and about their bodies, we'd live in a completely different environment. But this also starts with the educators and what they are proving. So some schools are better than others, but I think cycle health in general is not taught. And it takes the average woman 10 years to find out she has endometriosis or fibroids. Like, why should you go to the doctor for 10 years before? But if you had learned about some of those things, maybe in high school during the health class, then maybe if some boys even had moms who had issues or young girls were having issues that took them out of school, we all had those friends where when they had a period or maybe they got pregnant in high school or something, it was like catastrophic because they had underlying health issues they didn't know about. So yeah, these are really important, but it's like the textbooks that we buy are not very updated. We update kind of information about the time and the year and we add in wars and we add in all this stuff, but sexual education has really not been updated in a very long time. I think we've added some stuff in there just about like gender inclusivity, but it's not far enough. We do need to know more about our bodies because also we know how to take care of them. So this is feeding into the health conversation, right? And you would know in high school that if you have a super heavy period, then after school every day, you're like binge eating Takis and ice cream. Maybe that's leading to it because you're learning about hormones and how they're affected by certain food dye colors and things like that. These conversations are, I think, very mature. But if you're old enough to have a period, if you're old enough to have sex, I think you're old enough to be having these conversations.
Yes, absolutely. I could not agree more, Val. And something just popped into my mind. Do you maybe also remember back in the day when there were commercials on TV advertising period products and they would advertise those by pouring some mysterious blue liquid onto the pads, right? Mm-hmm. Because, oh no, we could not make this red. It would be awful if people would think about blood, right? So,
yeah, you know what's so crazy is that even with us, we want to be able to show those things. But another problem is the advertisers, right? They will allow adverts of Viagra, and then you are pouring red liquid that is literally cranberry juice onto a pad, and they're like, banned, shadow banned. Mm-hmm. So it really has to do with, I think, a general lack of wanting women's products to be advertised, even when we're talking about sex toys and things like that. Like, I understand that there are certain ages that can't see certain things, But at the same time, with advertising, like, phones are smart and we know how to reach our audience or get to the audience that we want. And people need to find these products. And so even the fact that you can't advertise them or that you'll immediately get shut down by an AI bot, because an AI bot is taught to look for things like menstrual products and shut down those posts, is really wild. Even with our brand, we do use hemp fiber. And there's just been a lot of issues that we had by using the word hemp. So as much as we want to educate about hemp material and like the biodegradability and all this stuff, we want to talk about hemp all the time, we have to be very smart with our word. So this has to do with policy. I do understand that they have to be safe. And there have been people who have abused certain policies with advertising on social media. But that is another thing that we have to think about. But yeah, that's why people use blue liquid. Like, we want to use red liquid. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, our post got deleted.
That's crazy. Where do you think that comes from? Is that just such deeply ingrained misogyny? What is it?
I think there's a bit of that, right? Because the people who the adverts don't really sell to are not going to have a positive feeling about the adverts. I think there was one company that makes period products and they were having period underwear ads inside of a subway. And they didn't show blood, anything like that. And the Metro would not let them run the ads. And it was crazy. It was like Victoria's Secret could run ads for lingerie. Right. People can run ads for condoms, but we can't run ads for leak-proof underwear. So I think once we have more diverse workforces as well, because I always think I'm reading these things and women are graduating college and they're in the workforce. But then I talk to some of my friends who work in these industries and they're like, I'm the only woman on a 30-person team. So there's a lot of change that needs to be made. And we need to encourage our daughters to get into some of these big ticket jobs where they can make these decisions that really make a difference.
And the example that you just shared, so something that's completely, quote, clean, there's no bloody imagery involved, just period underwear, that gets vetoed, while at the same time you can advertise for lingerie. It's absolutely ridiculous. And again, to the point, maligning something that's perfectly natural, that half of the world's population regularly goes through, that is needed to create life on this planet, a human life at least. And so it's okay to basically for women to be depicted as sexy or sexually available. However, when we really go into the area of women and agency and knowledge about their sexuality, that's where it gets shut down. It's so ridiculous. And it's toxic. Now, talking about something else really toxic, according to research, we now know the vaginal mucosa is highly permeable. It's pretty much the most absorbent tissue in a human body, and it allows for the direct transfer of chemicals into the bloodstream, which obviously, could cause major health issues if you expose this tissue to things that are not healthy. There was an interesting study in the Journal of Environmental Health in 2019 that actually highlighted concerns about the presence of volatile organic compounds, phthalates, and other nasty stuff in feminine hygiene products. For women who are menstruating, for people who love women who are menstruating, who have them in their lives, what measures can you take to make sure, unless you're using some amazing product like the products from RiffCare, if you don't have access to those for some reason, what do you have to look for to ensure that the menstrual products you or your loved one uses are free from bleached cotton or other harmful chemicals?
Yeah. So always look for organic if you can. I think it's not always possible, but there's some brands even that are claiming to be healthy. There's some bamboo brands out there, and we're learning about how processed like bamboo has to be. And it's just another word for viscose. And viscose is used by some of the big brands like Tampax, Always, et cetera. So when you're looking at the ingredients, make sure the box has ingredients, because legally they don't have to put their ingredients on the label, which is crazy. Wow. Because with food, you have to via the FDA, but you put period products inside your body as well. So things to look out for are polyesters. Bleaches and PFAs are typically not on there, but if it doesn't tell you specifically that they don't bleach or don't use PFAs, you can pretty much be sure that they are doing both of those things. And PFAs are these forever chemicals that stay in your bloodstream, and they're used to like coat wires and make things fireproof. And then they also spray them on tampons because it helps them to go through the machines without sticking. So we have to be very wary of these things. There's also like coatings, like different hydrogenated oils get put onto the outside of tampons to make them a little bit more slippery when they go inside. And then also with tampons, a lot of times people think it's cotton, but it's not cotton. It's cottonized plastic. So there's viscose and there's polyester, and polyester can be made to look like cotton. Now, polyester is petrol-based, which means it comes from the oil and gasoline industry. It is a byproduct. And plastic has been sold to us like this amazing, unbreakable, blah, blah, blah. And we're now using it in clothing, right? You see it in stockings, you see it in bandanas and t-shirts and even period products. So those are things we need to be really aware of. They do go directly into the bloodstream. And we do know that these things are endocrine disrupting and reproductive health disrupting. There's been very few studies because there's just not that much money going into women's health funding about period products and the ingredients in them, and then women's health specifically. And are those things causing fibroids, endometriosis, endometriosis? They're like, we don't know. But I'm like, okay, we know that 95% of women are using those products and 1 out of 5 women are having these issues. The number is probably even higher. If you just pull your friends, you can see most of us have issues. Yeah. Are those ingredients a direct causation? So many people believe so, but they just refuse to fund the study. So we're waiting for these studies to happen.
Sure. Funding is a big issue. And then, of course, you will have the oil industry, which is, it's what, a $1 trillion industry?
Yeah.
Somebody's huge piggy bank and period products for women. I'm curious, do you know, what is the market? What kind of money is generated by all kinds of period products globally?
Yeah, so it's about $40 billion market. So it's a really big market. And I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I think one of the most interesting things that we've seen is that the conventional is growing slower and even decreasing when it comes to grocery store sales. And the organic is just like 50% year over year growth. And then the reusable market, right? So I said that we make the reusable period underwear. That is having the most growth. Reusable period underwear is having the most growth in terms of volume of sales and also just the percentage overall growth year over year. So we know that there's interest. You see these videos going viral on TikTok. You love to send me DMs of like really interesting stuff, Ariana, and I love it because every time you see something health-wise, you share it with 5 friends and maybe one of them makes the switch. So the change is happening rapidly. And one last thing I want to say about that is that cotton is a great ingredient, but cotton is sprayed more than any other material, any other food. It uses half the pesticides in the entire world. So if the cotton's not organic, I'd be very wary of it unless it's like it says it's not sprayed with pesticides. But yeah, it's a very chemically treated material. So you have to be careful.
Yes. And I have been doing this for, probably 15 years now since I switched to organic period care. I have been telling everyone who wants to hear about it and maybe initially doesn't want to hear about it, but then is very happy they heard about it, to switch as well. And if they have daughters, nieces, wives, girlfriends, even if you're not menstruating yourself, take care of those you love. Pass on that information. And you said something before that kind of made me think about the ingredients. It's actually not funny when you said some of the ingredients is to fireproof things. And while I could see value in fireproofing vagina, but let's do it in an organic way and let's be sustainable and let's be regenerative. And speaking about regenerative agriculture, I know this is something for Rif Care that is really foundational. You're not only about enhancing product safety for women and giving us access to the cleanest, most health-enhancing and easy-to-use and pleasant-to-use products. You also care deeply about not only promoting environmental health, but also to actively participate in environmental health. Can you share with us the regenerative aspect? And then also, perhaps after that, if you shared any obstacles that you faced while trying to innovate, maybe overcoming skepticism from manufacturers or investors and such. I'm really curious about that part of your story.
Yeah. So I think regenerative is having its time right now. Everyone's really interested in farming and how can we make better products. And you've seen the movies and monocropping and we're learning about pesticides, right? So regenerative is next. Sustainable is great. Organic is great. But there's a way that we used to make things that is better. And so regenerative basically means that it's a product that can heal the earth when you make it instead of just take from the earth. And also with regenerative farms, like the place that our hemp is grown, they're just not growing thousands and thousands of acres of hemp. They're growing other things, and everything is benefiting each other on the farm. And so with hemp, it's just, it's something that has a very short growing cycle. So it takes less energy and less water than other crops, and it's multi-use. So besides, once we make our product, there's leftover biomass that people can make concrete with. There's oil that comes from it that people can make CBD with or other cooking oils. Like, it is such an amazing material. And when we talk about regenerative, it's not just with the product and the input of the material. It's also about how you feel. So if we're giving you suggestions for living and also education that's going to make you feel better and renew your mind and also just change your mindset about how you think about your period, that is regenerating you in all ways. So yes, when you use our product, of course, like, we want you to feel better. And our goal is to make women have better and easier periods. But also, if you never buy our product and you just watch our content, it doesn't apply to you. We want you to be able to have this empowering information to be able to change from the inside out and then share that.
I love this holistic approach to the regenerative aspect. And as far as I know, hemp, also the crop, it's something that when you grow hemp, it actually also helps revitalize the soil.
Totally.
So it's very healthy for the topsoil. Something else that I find really interesting is when we think about the role of policy in menstrual equity. I mentioned it at the beginning of our conversation. We women, oh, wait, the numbers were, yeah, I think if you think about a cycle of, let's say, 5 days per month and you menstruate for about 38 years, the total of time that a woman spends menstruating is actually 6.78 years of her life.
Yeah.
A woman is bleeding. Now, can you imagine what the world would look like if men would be bleeding out of their penises for close to 7 years of their life, and how maybe things would be very differently? I cannot really imagine a world where men would be mocked by political figures as bleeding out of their law, or where people would make fun of somebody because they are having a difficult time at work, or maybe even taking time off work. That being said, I'm sure you've also thought about that. So I'm asking, do you have any thoughts on how policymakers and community leaders can better support menstrual equity? And if so, what changes would you like to see, Val?
Yeah, this, I think, has to do with the beginning. So the beginning, we talked about education.
Mm-hmm.
Education is going to be the most important part of this conversation, because women's bodies have a completely different cycle than men's bodies. It's a 28-day, it's a 35-day, whatever your cycle is, cycle. And in every phase of your cycle, you have different hormone shifts. And these hormone shifts help you with being creative or working or having more energy or having less energy or starting your period or being able to have a baby. So I think a lot of what we do in a society is we all start to conform to the same ways of living and being so that we can live on this grid together. But that doesn't work when you have a cycle. So yes, you can conform to that, but then you have issues with your energy some weeks. And then you have, you know, issues where some weeks you don't feel as creative. And so with our team, yeah, there's a week where I'm not as creative, so I'm only going to be doing the bookkeeping stuff. And this week I'm feeling hella creative, so this is when I batch filmed 20 videos. And you can't do that in corporate America. So I don't really know what women are doing, but something that we're trying to do is really allow for our team to be able to work in a way that suits them. And we've not had any issues. We haven't had lack of creativity or productivity, or someone, I'm on my period, I just can't be here today. It's like we give each other grace, and we know that everybody's bodies are working differently at different times of the month. Just fall into what your strengths are. And also about menstrual equity, I do know that there are a lot of people, a lot of teenagers especially, who go to school to get period products because they can't afford them. And so there are policies when it comes to school and having products on board. I just wish they had better products than organic products. I was at my high school yesterday, Palisades High School, and they had Tampax. And I was like, I'm happy they're providing products, but also these girls are really young and they're putting these things in their body and they're not the best. So I just think overall, we should have an overhaul on what these products are, because if schools are going to be providing them, which I think they should, it's not like period products should just be free everywhere. There are companies who are trying to make things and obviously make money, but there are certain places like on work sites and at schools where if somebody's providing them, let's just get the best thing that we can afford to get. And it's great that we're even thinking about women in that way, because 10 years ago, the empty machines with the quarters. And I'm like, who has quarters anymore? And you just hope that someone would care enough to at least provide these things in a work or school situation.
Yes, you're right. We have made some good strides and we can do even better by our girls and by our women. And I love what you just shared about your company's environment, that you basically honor and also build the work structure around the individuals who are part of your team. Some of the women in our women's circle, shout out to Ma Circle and to my co-founder, Luba Viti here. Lots of love to all of you amazing women. Some of these women have also shared that they build their lives when they can. They're not necessarily women who work from 9 to 5 in a corporate job. A lot of them are independent and are also healers and healthcare founders. So they build their schedules around their menstrual cycles. And they have found that it's not only feels better to them, but they are actually much more productive. Things work better. Things work more seamlessly. So there's definitely something to be said for that. And similarly, this is not our topic today, but when you look at how most of our societies are structured in a way like everybody needs to wake up at a certain time and it needs to be the morning and then they need to be functional the first part of the day and the latter part of the day and then at night they sleep. Not everybody is wired like that. There's people who need to get up extremely late and also go to bed extremely late, and their most productive part is a very different time of day. So hopefully as a society at some point we can move towards a structure that is more conducive to the different, all the different, let's call them subtypes.
Yeah, totally. And that's the individualization of our own health journeys is so important, because I am a 5 a.m. riser, and realizing that my co-founder for Rift Care likes to do her work from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like, if you just wake up in the morning, then you can get a workout in and then you can do business. And that doesn't work for her. I'm not going to tell people to do that anymore. I'm like, what time does your body naturally wake up without an alarm clock? Maybe that's the time you need to be waking up. But if you're depressed and or have different things going on with your health, that changes. We do have to be more mindful of that. And so telling a woman to come every day, clock in 9 to 5, and then the week where she's not as creative, she's dinged because she probably should have been doing that project 2 weeks ago and not today. It's just, it is what it is. We're learning. And I think women, that's also why they are taking it upon themselves to even be more entrepreneurial in the workforce so that they can really take more agency over like how and when they work.
Yes, for sure, Val. And that ties into something we briefly also touched upon before. When we talk about the access to menstrual health resources and it not only being a personal issue, right? I think it has a broad economic implications as well. I would like to hear from you. How do you think improving access to menstrual health resources can influence the broader economic landscape for women?
Yeah. TikTok and Instagram are amazing for education, but there's so much misinformation. There's so much conflicting information. So I think we need to be looking at some of these bigger publications and just seeing what they're saying. I know that there's some pieces that we need to question. Like even the Washington Post did something about birth control the other week, and that caused me to do a deeper dive just into what are the manufacturers actually saying? Like they're saying there's no side effects, but manufacturers clearly stated that there are side effects. So with all of this information that's coming out, we also have to see who's funding them, who's benefiting from them. My experience has been that other women's personal experience has resonated more with me than a lot of what's been coming out. But I also love what National Geographic is doing, right? They're starting to study pregnancy and learn a lot about pregnancy and menstruation and women's brains on their period. So these are the things that I like. And you can always put Google alerts for this type of stuff. And we have one so we can know this information. But it's wild out there. And we are still having a lot of companies like Elixir and Semaine Health, which make cycle care. So they make like gummies and tinctures and different supplements for that time of the month or for other times of the month. And they are really investing heavily the money that they're making into research. So I'm also following companies like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is also the personal health is so crucial for ourselves and also for the communities we live in. The healthier we are, the healthier our communities can also be. There's also an intrinsic link between personal health and environmental health, and both of which influence each other profoundly. And that is something that you have not only recognized, but embraced Val. And RIF stands for Regenerative International Female. And it, of course, also alludes to reef, right? Yeah. You are very focused to also supporting the regeneration of reefs, of the oceans. Yesterday, actually, you had a beach cleanup for Earth Day, which is awesome. The only reason why I didn't attend is because those who know me and I burn easily. So a day on the beach is not necessarily the best for me, but I was there in spirit. I would like to know, did you ever have a time where it was difficult to actually convey this to your stakeholders, to your investors? Or was that something that was immediately also just taken as a super positive?
Yeah. So we love the environment in all the ways, but I'm always doing beach cleanups and I'm like, maybe I should do something else because not everybody likes going to the beach. Just because the original name for the brand was supposed to be Reef. And I thought our whole thing would be like, using our packaging would be ocean bound plastic and we would use all these inputs and then we'd be supporting ocean restoration. But then I could not get the trademark to save my life. So that's why we changed the name to Reef. That's literally the story. But yeah, when we first started, I was explaining to people what the differentiator was. But the thing is, most investors are men. So they had no idea the ingredients, even in period care. They didn't understand what the difference was. They didn't know that you could make fiber out of hemp. They didn't know you could make disposable products out of hemp. Like, they were so confused on everything. And even today, we emailed this investor we had several conversations with. And the email from them was like, we don't really see like how your brand is different. And I was like, oh my God. Like, after three conversations of talking to them, they're not the right people for us, but I just want to be transparent about how it goes. They're like, we don't see the differentiator in the market. And I'm like, the retailers see the differentiator. That's why they're bringing us in. Women see the differentiator and they also feel it, right? Because every time you're iterating a product or making a new product, if you're using new ingredients, you need to be improving whatever already exists. Pretty much everything already exists. You can only improve it at this point. So that's always a little bit like, and we've had a lot of those conversations with guys, but I think as we're moving forward, especially right now, like we're raising a round of angel funding and we're trying to talk to women, like high net worth women who understand, who've been through the issue and who are also a little bit into the natural and holistic products because they know the difference and we don't have to sell them on something that they don't believe in. So yeah, and even when we got manufacturers, the product did not exist. We found someone who basically made a toilet paper type of material and they were making this non-woven material in another country. And so we connected them with our factory and they got together and that's how they made the products for us. But it was honestly super quick to get the manufacturing. But the first time I tried to start this company, it was about 4 years ago and I emailed lots of manufacturers. They're like, oh, it doesn't exist and we can't do it. But this time around, I think it was really supposed to happen. I got this download to do this Google search and look for all these different manufacturers that weren't period care manufacturers. And when I finally put them together, it's like I had to do the work. I had to find multiple pieces and put the puzzle together, but then it came together in the end in a way that was really quick. We found the manufacturer and then we launched 10 months later. So I'm happy for the way it's worked out. But yeah, those conversations have generally been difficult with investors.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy, as are many countless women, that it did work out. Val, I read a really cool interview with you where you're talking about taking risks. And as a successful entrepreneur and risk taker, what advice would you give to young women who want to be change makers, transform industries, and actually also challenge societal norms while they're at it?
I would say whatever idea you have is just to launch it. I meet so many amazing people and they have amazing ideas. And I'm just trying to encourage them to get out there and do it because you're never going to know if it's going to fail or succeed if you don't put it out there. Mm-hmm. And even if it fails, you can iterate or start something new, but you'll never know if it's not out there. I love seeing my friends start their businesses and launch their podcasts and do everything because I'm like, look, there's no other way to fulfill your destiny than by sharing it with the world. And you can always relaunch. I think people think of launching or starting a business as this event that happens, but it's really not. When I started Risk 6 months before, or almost a year before we officially launched with the period products, I was making CBD oil and selling it at farmers markets under the name Riff. And then we closed that, made some money on it. I've not closed it, but we're not going to make that product anymore. We're going to change and just make period products. But I had to go to the farmer's market and talk to people and learn that way before I could really launch Rift to be what it is. And it was super small. I did it for 3 months. I think I made like $8,000 in that 3 months selling online and at farmer's markets. But then I got the confidence that I really could do it. I would have never known that though if I was like, I can't start my business until I have a multi-million dollar period care. No, I had to start like a little oil company at the farmer's market. And then I grew it from there.
I love that, Val. And this is also to embrace change, embrace transformation, also potentially embrace failure, whatever it is. You just go on and you take what you learned or you take what you developed and make it even better. You've been experiencing something that, oh gosh, so many people would love to. You actually are right now in a reality show where the host is the fabulous Ashley Graham. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. See, this is something that would have never happened if I would not have put myself out there. But we were recently featured on a show called Side Hustlers. It's on Roku. It's all about female entrepreneurs. And we're competing for an investment of $100,000. So I suggest watching that show on Roku. If you don't have the channel or the Roku TV, you can watch it on the app. And it's really just taking us through the journey of learning about how to build a multi-million dollar business, right? So marketing, customer product market fit, all those things we're going through on the show. We filmed for 12 weeks of the summer. My co-founder was pregnant, and it is such a fun and upbeat show. And if you want to start a company, or if you have someone who has a company, tell them to watch it. Or even if you just need some entertainment, because it's very entertaining, I would suggest watching it. But yeah, that has been amazing for our business. It's grown our direct to consumer. I think it's having lift in retail as well. It's helping us to get into bigger retailers. So put yourself out there. I went to a female founder dinner and just told people what I was doing and someone thought I'd be a great fit for the show. And they emailed my information to the casting director, and that's how we got on.
Super. I am so thrilled about that. And it's really also a lesson in embodying it, embodying who you are, putting it out there, not holding back, not playing small, letting your light shine, letting your passion out and communicating about it. Is there anything new that's coming up with regards to RiftCare that you can give us a little teaser about?
Oh, I guess the newest thing that's happening for us right now is that we're launching our full product line into Erewhon. So right now we just have our pads into Erewhon, which is really exciting, but they're taking on the tampons and the period underwear too. So if you're in the LA area, you can check it out there. We're also in other stores like Gelson's, Jimbo's, Lazy Acres, all in Southern California. So we have some exciting retail launches. And if you follow us, you can see where they are and when they're happening.
Mm-hmm. I'm always, whenever I walk into a place, especially like Erewhon, which is like the Rolls Royce of the supermarkets, they keep their products so well. And I walk through the aisle, I'm like, oh, there's my girl.
And I do the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, there we are. I'm shocked every time I see them in a store. And I'm just like, I'm the founder. And they're like, really? And I'm like, I can't believe it either.
It's amazing, Val. And for those people who'd love to connect with you, connect with the company, learn more, how can they do?
Yeah, so you can follow us at RIF Care on TikTok and also on Instagram. And you can also email us, hello@riftcare.com. If you have questions, comments, we'd love to know. And yeah, you can also on Facebook, we're at Rift Cares. So that's all.
Super. And I'll make sure to put all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today, Val. And thank you for all the amazing work you're doing and the amazing products that you're putting out there. And it's not just about the product. It's actually really changing the perception around menstrual care and around bleeding for women. So I am a very grateful customer, fan, and woman. Thank you for everything you do.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me and for opening this conversation. It's an important one.
Hey everyone, if you're as passionate about transforming your life and reaching your peak performance as I am, I invite you to join my newsletter. Think of it as your weekly dose of inspiration and knowledge to supercharge your journey to becoming superhuman. Start optimizing mentally, physically, and spiritually today. Just head over to superhumanize.com/newsletter and sign up. Trust me, your future self will thank you.